Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? Hello? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, in the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. We give you praise and honor for this day, Father. We ask that you forgive us for all our sins and that you hear our prayer. Father, thank you for allowing us to see another Shabbat. Thank you for giving us another day of life, allowing us to see the sunshine again, allowing us another day to speak with one another. Father, we just thank you for protecting us, leading us, and guiding us through this week, giving us the strength to overcome our trials and tribulations, Father. And when we fail, thank you for the lesson that is within it. Father, we ask that you continue to heal us mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. We ask that you continue to open your word unto us, giving us what we need daily. We ask, Father, that you continue to show us love and be patient with us, Father. Continue to show us mercy and continue to chastise us when we go to the left or to the right. Father, we thank you for continuing to grow us and continuing to provide for us, giving us the strength that we need, Father, to accomplish what we accomplish daily. Thank you for just being there for us. Just thank you, Father. In the name of Yahushua HaMashiach, we pray to you. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family. It's your brother Daywell. You know, magnify the Torah and make it honorable. Today we're going to continue to Torah Ma'akiz. Today we're going to pick up from last week and continue to talk about the frontal lobe. I didn't know Abba would have me run on my mouth so much, but, you know, like I say, he do what he do. You know, that's how he wants to go about it, so that's how we went about it. Our two foundational scriptures, once again, is Romans 12:2, and it reads, Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of Yah. Also, Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. And they read, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against Yah, for it is not subject to the law of Yah, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please Yah. In our regular state, in our regular thinking, we die. Our thoughts lead to actions of death. As our brother, I think David wrote, we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. So all our thoughts are sinful thoughts. All our actions are against the Most High until our mind gets transformed or renewed. Until we take hold of that Torah and we start doing things that bring about life, that bring about love. All right? So, last week we went through part of the mind, and we still, again, we're talking about the frontal lobe. We talked about problem solving and planning. We talked about judgment. We talked about memory and memory formation. This week, we're going to talk about sexual behavior, self-control, emotional expression, empathy, and attention. You know, it's a lot that the forefront of our mind is in control of. And so, you know, because this is the largest part of our brain. You know, that frontal lobe makes up a third of our brain. That conscious mind, what we do right now. And think about it, you know, why Yahushua said, he said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow got his own worries, you know. But what you do now, Father, give us this day. Give us right now our daily bread, what is sufficient for us right now, you know. A lot of times we, and there's nothing the matter with planning for the future. But the right now is what's most important. Don't get caught up into next week, because you don't know if you're going to see next week. You know, we got to make it through the day. And all the evils of the day. Told Abba having the foresight to give us a day of rest where we just abide in you. Not saying evils can't happen today. But it's better to abide in you today. It's better to lay our worries on you today, you know? It's sort of like every Shabbat, we get a day where we get to sit down with Abba, and Abba say, okay, you can live another week of life, another 7 days. What have you learned in those 7 days? You know, what have you learned in those 7 days? Every 7 days, you got to talk to your father and tell him what you learned. Like, Abba, today I learned this. Abba, today I learned that. And it don't matter how old you are, you know. Don't matter how old you are. How have you changed to become more like me in these last 7 days? That's the question. Every 7 days, when we come before him, did you get this lesson? Good. You're a little bit more like me. Did you get that lesson? Well, that's okay. You'll get it next time. Every 7 days. So, sexual behavior. Something that Abba, you know, talks about within his word, what not to do as far as having sex, you know, especially he's really big on the same sex. Don't be of a same sex relationship. Don't be out here having sex with animals. You know, the homosexuality, the bestiality. Don't withhold sex and use that as a weapon. You know, all these different things are talked about in this word, but a lot is talked about as far as homosexuality. So, and fornication, you know, adultery. Those are the three things that when you really look into his word, he really focuses on, really, for the most part. You know, I mean, he gives us all these, the laws too. He's saying, you know, again, don't lie with no beast. You know, and it's amazing that, you know, these are the things which are like really prevalent today. You know, when you have people who run rampant with this, with fornication, and you have people who lay with animals and everything. It's like, man, Abba is just, his foresight is just crazy, you know. But it also shows that man has not grown. You know, you have these things that went on back then that are going on now, thousands of years later. Going on now, you still have these sexual deviants. So, we'll start Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. And it reads, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, the first two that he named. uncleanness, lasciviousness, and we know the list. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of Yah. But the very first thing that he says, adulteries and fornications. The flesh longs for others. You know, this is something that, as far as men and women go, and is quite prevalent this day, something that men and women are going to have to work against constantly to keep this flesh under control, to keep this mind under control. And you know, this is one of Satan's number one tools. A highly sexualized country, even to the point where they say, what the old saying, sex sells, and advertising. So whenever you have advertising going on, you know, you use the pretty woman versus the the classic beauty versus the non-classic beauty. Because to me, women aren't ugly. The only thing that's ugly about women is their attitudes. You know, to me, personally. But, and it's funny because I'm watching this show on Netflix called 100 People. And they do this, they do all kinds of different experiments. But they just had an experiment where they asked 100 people. They were the jury. And what they had was 100 people who, they had six photos, right, where three of the photos were what they call the classic beauties, and three of the photos were the unclassic. They were quote unquote looking like killers or looking like criminals, right? And what they did was, the question was, does being good looking help you get out of a ticket, or will it get you a softer penalty if you look good versus if you don't look good, right? And it showed that when they asked the 100 people, because the six pictures or the six victims were accused of the same crimes. You know, two were accused of the same crimes. One looked nice. The other looked not so nice, or however you wanted to say it, right? Not as nice as the other one, right? And they did that three times, three different crimes, but the two pictures lined up with the exact same crime, exact same circumstances. They told the exact same story for them. Don't you know that the average person who looked nice got a way softer sentence than the person who didn't? And the excuses that they gave him was, oh, well, this person, you can look at him and tell that they were desperate. They were in a hard struggle. So let's give this person 3 years in jail. When they had the exact same person, they didn't give that leniency to them. Oh, they did this and they did that, and they were negligent, and they should pay, and this, that, give them 20 years, you know? But it just goes to show how in judgment, Abba said, don't do that. He says,
let your just weights, just balances. Don't look to the person of honor. Don't belittle the person that's poor. Don't skew that, right? But now, in this highly sexualized society that we live in, Satan then found another way to pervert justice. He then found another way to pervert it. He then found another way to get man to mess up. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. He says, "For this is the will of Yah, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence," I probably pronounced that wrong, "even as the Gentiles, which know not Yah." So when we come to Abba, one of the things that, you know, he talked about, y'all going to be a holy nation. How is one of the ways we're going to be holy? We're going to be able to control these lusts, control the lusts of the flesh. He's going to give us that ability. Because, and you know, and it takes us to rethink things. There's nothing the matter with seeing a nice woman and giving them a compliment. "Wow, she looks nice." But you're not supposed to burn in it. You know, you're not supposed to go overboard with it. Which nowadays is kind of hard because you got women out there with everything out and men too. You know, it's no easier for women. You got women out there with everything out. Every time you cut the video, you cut the TV on. It's all in the music. All in the videos. So now you got to turn your head. You know, it's just another fight that Abba is equipping us for. Turn your head. Nope, don't buy into that, bro. Don't buy into that, bro. Turn your head. Turn your head. You know, because you can't tell somebody now they're living their, you hear it all the time, they're living their truth. And their truth is that they can do what they want, when they want, how they want it. It don't affect you. Not knowing that we are interdependent people. That's how Abba designed us, to be interdependent. So the things that people do affect us. Well, like you said, abstain from fornication. Control yourself. You know, Revelations chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Revelations chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. And this reads, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee." Now, if you read a couple verses before that, it talks, Yahushua is talking to the angels of the different churches, right? and he says how great of a job they're doing, but then he gets to the admonition. Look, you're doing this right, you're doing this right, you're doing it, and that gets an attaboy. But not all that, but you ain't doing everything right, you know. So he gets to this particular church, he says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, against thee, because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. So, yeah, you're doing this right, but hold up, I got an issue here. I got an issue with y'all because y'all see something going on and y'all are allowing this. Y'all are allowing this woman to seduce y'all and cause my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Verse 21, he says, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. So I gave her time to do it, but she's not doing it. She ain't going to do it. And y'all ain't stepping in. Ain't nobody checking this woman in her ways. Could it be because she's the pastor now? And you have all these different women leading now in spaces where they not belong? Causing men to, or causing servants to fornicate, the men and the women. Now you have so many people that's saying that, that's, again, living their truth. No, I'm not going to be with this person. I can't be with this person, yada, yada, yada. I'm going to just go out here and get me a side piece. And you marry. But why you go out and get you a side piece? I'm not happy. I'm not fulfilled. I'm not this thing. I'm not. And it's all you hear is I'm not thinking of your significant other. So now your significant other find out you cheating. And you feel in some type of way. So they might go out and get a side piece. And now you just got one big mess that goes on quite a lot these days. You know, this is like an average thing now. And people see that. And now a lot of people don't even want to get married for fear of that. They want to have sex. They want to have the relations. But they don't want to go about it the right way. So now all you have is a whole bunch of fornication. All because of what? Selfishness. You have Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 through 19. Genesis 39, starting at verse 1, and it reads, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down there. And Yahweh was with Joseph, and he was prosperous. He was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that Yahweh was with him, and that Yahweh made all he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had put in his hand. And it came to pass, from the time they had made him overseer in his house, and over all they had, that Yahweh blessed the Egyptians' house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of Yahweh was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. See how useful we can be to people when we serve Abba? He told Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and you will be a blessing. How did he do that? Wherever he went, the blessing of Yahweh was with him. You know, when we do what Abba say, people see it. People see it. Verse 6. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well fed. Potiphar had so much stuff. Look, it's all yours. I don't care what you do with it. The only thing I'm worrying about is that you eat good, because I know Yahweh blessed you, and I'm going to be blessed because of you. So you just do what you want with wherever I can. Whatever move you make, I'm good with it. Verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in this house, and he hath committed all that he has in my hand. Look, man, I got free range in this house. Everything that in this house I got mastery over, he gave this to me. Verse 9, he said, there is none greater in this house than I. Neither have he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. You are the only thing in this house that I don't have mastery over. You're his wife. I can do whatever I want in this house, but I can't touch you. Sound familiar? You can eat from all these trees in this garden, but don't eat from this one. He says, there is none greater in this house than I. Neither has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against Elohim? So he's not even thinking about Potiphar. He's thinking about the shame that he's going to bring onto his mighty one. Because Potiphar knows that the blessings and everything that he's getting is coming from his mighty one. It's coming from Yahweh. He got it. He understood that. But what Joseph say? Look, I can't touch you, miss. Mm-mm. No, 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 no. I'm not bringing no shame onto Yahweh's name. Verse 10, he says, and it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her, or to be with her. He controlled his body, his flesh. He controlled it. He says, and it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there with him. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. She stripped the dude. She's about to take it. She's about to rape Joseph. And Joseph's like, mm-mm. My man running away for it. See, and that's why the word says flee fornication. Why? Our forefather fled fornication. He ran for his life. He says, verse 12 again, he says, and she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice." So the very first question that Abba put in my mind, right? Potiphar understood who Joseph was because the Egyptians did not worship Yahweh. But Potiphar understood who Yahweh was. So he understood who that Joseph was a Hebrew. But his wife didn't. The other Egyptians didn't. Because she didn't know that he was a Hebrew until she got him naked. And now she makes this claim, "See, he was a Hebrew and to mock us." Potiphar got that. Potiphar knew, but the rest of the house didn't. Right? Second thing, see how quick she lied? Joseph running for his life. And she flipped the tables on. All because she didn't get what she wanted. How many women and men are in jail accusations right now? Because that's what happened to Joseph. We're going to read a little bit more. He ends up in jail over this situation. Again, our mentality must change. Our mentality must change. Our thinking must change. We have to renew our minds. He says, she called upon a Hebrew to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. Verse 15, he says, and it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his master came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which you have brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. Now is the issue. The Hebrew servant. He was beautiful until you found out he was a Hebrew. You was wanting him till you found out he was a Hebrew. And it came to pass as I lifted up my voice, verse 18. And it came to pass as I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But Yahweh was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. All right, we want to stop right there. Because again, we know the other stuff that happened with Joseph, you know, when he was in prison. And he went from being promoted from number one in Potiphar's house, well, number two in Potiphar's house. He gets promoted to number two in all of Egypt. Did he seek revenge on Potiphar's wife? Nah. Not that kind of dude. You know? Because he could have had Potiphar's wife dealt with. Oh, you did that to me? Remember? Remember you did that to me? Remember you lied on me? See, but that shows the type of mind that Joseph has. I'm not going to bring any shame onto Yahweh. No, but 2 Samuel chapter 13. This is another one. Second Samuel chapter 13. Remember, y'all, this is about controlling those, that flesh, that sexual behavior. 2 Samuel chapter 13, it reads, verse 1. It says, and it came to pass after this, that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he felt sick for his sister, Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shemaiah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. So he loving this woman, Amnon is, and she's so fine that he get those butterflies and, oh man, I can't live without her. I love her. She's so beautiful. Jonadab get wind of this. Oh, well, we ain't get that part yet. Sorry. Jonadab is a very subtle man. Verse 4, he says, and he said unto him, Jonadab speaking, and he said unto him, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. So he knows something about, hey man, what's going on with you? You the king's son. What's going on with you, bro? Why are you acting like this every day? Man, I'm in love with my brother's sister. Verse 5, he says, and Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy, Jonadab being the subtle one. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see, that I may see it and eat it at her hand. So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. And David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour and kneaded and made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him. But he refused to eat. And Amnon said, have out all men from me. And they went out, every man from him. Same thing that happened with Potiphar's wife. No witnesses. Everybody get away. Everybody get away. Something devious is about to go down. Potiphar's wife caught Joseph at a time when he was by himself, with nobody around. What she do? Try to rape the man. Amnon sent everybody away. What's about to happen? Verse 10. And Amnon said unto Tamar, bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thy hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon her brother. And when she had brought them in to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. Don't do this foolishness. This ain't supposed to be going on. But again, sexual behavior. He's not using and he's not controlling the front of that frontal lobe. He's not controlling his lusts. He's not thinking logically. He's not trying to solve the problem through the Torah. I mean, you got all of Israel. I'm pretty sure it was some other sisters within Israel that looked just as good as Tamar. It didn't have to be your sister. Verse 13, it says, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Well, hold that thought for a second. Okay. You look in Leviticus chapter 18. It says, verse 17, he says, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are near kinswomen It is wickedness. So these are, in chapter 18, it talks about the people that you can deal with. Verse 13, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister. Oh, I'm sorry, that's not. It talks about all the people that you can and cannot lay with. Verse 11. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father. She is thy sister. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. So he ain't supposed to be looking at her like that. He ain't supposed to be laying with her like that, according to Torah. Okay. If you start at verse 9, it says, the nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. Amnon was not supposed to lay with Tamar. Wasn't supposed to do it. She was off limits. That's his sister. That's his near kinswoman. They got different mothers because that's Absalom's sister. And that's Absalom's sister. But Amon is what they would call nowadays a stepbrother. They ain't no stepbrothers. They were brothers. They were brothers and sisters, and that's the near kinswoman to him. See, but because he's not controlling himself, he's in violation, and she's trying to talk him down, right? He says, verse 13 again, he says, and I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. He should though, because that's a violation of Torah. That's something Yahweh said not to do. But at least speak to your father about this. This ain't something that's supposed to go down like this. Verse 14, it says, howbeit he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, arise, be gone. So he raped her. And then, now I hate you. Because he took it. Where he was infatuated with this woman. He took it, now I hate you. He says, verse 16, he says, and she said unto him, there is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other than thou did unto me. But he would not hearken unto her. Then he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, put now this woman out for me, and bolt the door after her. Man, he just kicked her out. Took what he wanted and kicked her out. And locked the door behind her. And she had a garment, and it says, of diverse colors, but when we look at it, a long garment. And she had a long garment upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins appareled. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her. And Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment, her long garment that was on her, and said her hand, and laid her hand on her head and went on crying. Absalom, her brother, said unto her, Hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister. She is thy brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Can you imagine that? You know, you got your brother taking the virginity of your sister. It happened. She crying. And you saying, what can you say to that? All you can say is, regard not this thing. Don't even think about it. Just stay at my house. You know, I'm going to take care of you. Stay at my house. And all she can do is cry. Because not only did he take it from her, but then he hated her after that. Get her out of here. How she was treated. He says, so Tamar remained desolate in her brother's, in her brother Absalom's house. But when, verse 21, but when David heard all these things, he was very wroth. Because his son took something from his daughter that he wasn't supposed to do that. It says, and Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. But Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. Now look at the dynamic that changed. The whole family dynamic. Remember, this is a family. The whole family dynamic can change. It says, and it came to pass, verse 23, and it came to pass after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shears Baal Hazor, which is beside Ephraim. And Absalom invited all the king's sons. Absalom came to the king and said, behold now thy servant have sheep shears. Let the king, I beseech thee, and his servants go with thy servant. And the king said to Absalom, nay, my son, let us not all go, lest we be chargeable unto thee. And he pressed him, howbeit he would not go, but blessed him. Then said Absalom, if not, I pray thee, let my brother Amnon go with us. And the king said unto him, why should he go with thee? But Absalom pressed him, and he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. And remember, this after 2 years. 2 years of hate. 2 years of not saying nothing good nor bad. It boiled up. He'd been plotting this. Verse 28. Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, mark ye now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine. And when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not. Have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant. And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and every man gat him up upon his mule and fled. And it came to pass, while they were in the way, that tidings came to David, saying, Absalom hath slain all the king's sons, and there is not one of them left.
Then the king arose and tear his garment and lay on the earth, and all his servants stood close round. Then Jonadab, the son of Shemaiah, David's brother, answered and said, "Let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon only is dead. For by the appointment of Absalom have this been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. Now therefore, let not my lord the king take the thing to his heart to think that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon only is dead." But Absalom fled, and the young man that kept the watch lifted up his eyes. Look, and behold, there came much people by the way of the hill side, or the hillside beside him. And Jonadab said unto the king, "Behold, the king's son comes. As their servant said, so it is." And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voice and wept. And the king also and all his servants wept very sore. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, king of Gershon. And David mourned for his son every day. Excuse me. So Absalom fled and went to Gershon and was there 3 years. And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom. But he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead. So look at all the, because of this one thing, he could not control himself. Got murdered. Absalom had to leave. Now David's serving because one of his sons is dead and Absalom is gone. A whole dynamic rocked this house because he could not control his flesh. Could not control his flesh. Lives were lost because he couldn't control his flesh. All right? Which leads us into the next section. Self-control, emotional expression, and empathy. All right? In the book of Numbers, chapter 16, starting at verse 15. Well, we're going to start at verse 12. Numbers 16, 12. And it reads, now this is, y'all remember, number 16, this is the rebellion. When Korah and Dathan and all of them went up against Moses. Number 16, 12, it says, "And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up." Verse 13, "Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us?" This is them talking to Moses, right? The same Moses who, whenever they messed up, he was bargaining for their life, talking to the Creator. "Get away from him, Moses. I'm going to kill everybody. I'm going to start with you." Wait a minute, Yahweh. If you do that,
the Egyptians are going to say this, and these people are going to say that. And, you know, the same Moshe, the same one, I'm going to bring you up to a land flowing with milk and honey. They said, nah, you took us out of the land that was flowing with milk and honey, even though they were slaves. They were slaves in that land that was flowing with milk and honey. They wasn't seeing no milk, and they wasn't seeing no honey. But yet, they fussing. He says, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us. Verse 14, moreover, that wasn't enough. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that's filled with milk and honey, or given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. You think they don't see what you're doing? You ain't bring us into no land. First, you took us out of a land flowing with milk and honey, and you didn't bring us to another land flowing with milk and honey. You ain't give us no inheritance. You ain't do none of this stuff. You think we don't see what you're doing? And you made yourself a prince over us, Moses? No, we ain't coming up there to see what you want. Self-control, emotional expression, empathy. Verse 15. And Moses was very wroth. He was really upset. But in his upsetness, this is what he said. And said unto Yahweh, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one donkey from them, neither have I hurt one of them. That was his response. Not Abba, send fire. So and think about what the in the time of Mashiach. They went up against Yahushua. Some of his disciples said, hey, Yahushua, should we call fire down on them? Should we do it? Should we just burn them up? Nah, man. Control yourself. Think of what you're saying. We ain't trying to kill them. We're trying to save them. Yahweh himself get me. I'm so sick of these dudes. Moshe, like you said, Moshe, I'm going to kill them all. But Moshe had the awareness and the self-control and the empathy to know, Abba, look, just don't respect their offerings. Whatever they bring to you, don't respect their offerings. Now, why did he say that? Think about what Yahushua said. If you have aught with a brother, leave your offering and go make things right with your brother. Because that's what Moshe said. Hey, they got an issue with me. I didn't take one donkey from them. So why are they mad at me? What the problem is, Israel? Why are you mad at me? I didn't do anything to you. That empathy has to kick in. Like my brother was talking about last night. Oh, you don't got to bring the big sword out all the time. You ain't got to tear a dude apart all the time. Just give him to think. Drop that little seed here. Drop that seed there. Give him to think. And then let Abba do his work. Verse 16, we're going to keep on going. And Moshe said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before Yahweh, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow, and take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before Yahweh, every man his censer,
250 censers. You also and Aaron, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moshe and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of Yahweh appeared unto all the congregation. And Yahweh spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in an instant. And they fell upon their faces and said, O El, the Elohim of spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and will thou be wroth with all the congregation? Still praying for them, still have empathy for them, still have self-control, even through all the disrespect. Right? He says, verse 23, and Yahweh said unto Moses, saying, but Abba was sick of it. That's the thing. So many times, Moshe then saved their butts. So many times. But Abba got tired, not of the disrespect. You disrespected Moshe. That was the problem. He got tired of you disrespecting his representative. That's what he got tired of. And because he got tired of it, you know, we know the story. He says, verse 23, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah and Dathan and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram and the elders of Israel and followed them. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah and Dathan and Abiram on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives, and their sons, and their little children. And Moshe said, hereby you shall know that Yahweh have sent me to do all these works, for I have done none of them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited at the visitation of all men, then Yahweh have not sent me. But if Yahweh make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertains to them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked Yahweh. And how did they provoke Yahweh? By provoking the man that he sent. That's how. And we know the story. And it came to pass, as he had made the end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder and was under, as soon as he was done. As soon as he was done talking, boom, it happened. But what was the first thing that he did? The empathy and the emotion. But don't kill the innocent with them. There's some people around them that don't deserve what's going on. Tell them to get away. Tell them to get away from him, Moshe. Convince them to get away. Because if they don't get away, they're going down with him. Right? It said, the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses and all the men that appertain unto Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation.
And all Israel that was round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from Yahweh and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. And Yahweh spake unto Moshe, saying, speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning and scattered thou the fire yonder, for they are hollow. The censers of these sinners against their own soul, let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offer them before Yahweh. Therefore they are hollow, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. But again, Moshe had the way about him to keep the people at his forefront, to keep empathy. He understood his role as leader. And again, as leader, you gotta have love for the people. You gotta have empathy when they're going wrong. Genesis chapter 4, verses 5 through 6. Genesis chapter 4, we're going to start at verse 4. All right? Let's start at verse 3. It says, Genesis 4, 3, it says, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought out the fruit of the ground, an offering unto Yahweh, and Abel, he also bore his firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And Yahweh had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And Yahweh said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, should not thou be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and thou, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. What's going on? It's written on your face. You don't have any control. Where is, what's going on with you, man? Your face is, your countenance has fallen. And because your countenance is falling, and because you're feeling some type of way, now sin steps in. The evil one steps in and starts those whispers. But you got to have self-control. You got the hiccups. You got to have self-control. He said, that's all you got to do is do well, and I'll accept what you're giving me. But I just can't accept any old thing. Just do well, and everything will be fine. Ephesians chapter 4, 26 and 27. Ephesians chapter 4, 26 and 27. It reads, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. So, again, when we don't control ourselves, when that anger comes up, control it. Control it. And see, what was the question that Yahweh asked? Why are you angry? When I went through therapy, that was the question that caused me to make me understand. She said that. She said that helped. You know, that was the answer to controlling your anger. The woman told me, he said, if you could answer this question, you can control your anger. When you get angry, Ask yourself, why are you angry? The same thing that Yahweh asked Cain. Why are you angry? And figure out why you're angry. And if you do that, you can control your anger. You know, all these psychologies and philosophies and this, that, and another, Abba gave us the answers. You know, it's just like Rabbi Gershom Bigdanger said, the Bible is like the game of Jeopardy. Bible gives you the answers. You just got to ask the right questions. You know, you got to ask the right questions. But that right there, if they would have told me that, I wouldn't have had to go through therapy 4 or 5 times. If I had to go through it 4 or 5 times to get exactly what was needed. You know? But he says right there, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Look, find out, figure out what's going on with you. Control yourself. You know, control yourself. Another thing we need to do is we need to learn to have empathy for ourselves. We need to stop being so hard on ourselves. We are our worst critics. You know, we have all this love for everybody else, but you got to have love for yourself also. Numbers chapter 20, verses 9 through 11. Numbers chapter 20, verse 9. It says, and Moshe took the rod from before Yahweh, as he had commanded him. And Moshe and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto him, hear ye now, ye rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moshe lifted up his hand with his rod. He smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank, and their beasts also. Now, y'all remember, this is the waters, they call it the waters of Meribah, or the waters of strife, where they got Moses to melt down. This is Moses' meltdown when he even had it up to there with them. I can't deal with them no more. Look, I'm sick of y'all rebelling against me. I didn't do anything wrong with y'all. Every time that something happened, I pray to Abba and it happens. You wanted food to eat? Manna was given to you. You say you ain't want the manna? You sick of the manna? Quail was given to you. You got a cloud by day, so as you walking, it's not too sunny. You walking in shade. You got fire by night. A light is always protecting you. A big old fire that's keeping danger from behind you, danger from getting you. Now you complaining that you're thirsty. Okay, they told me speak to the right rock. But I'm so sick of you. I'm so sick of y'all getting on. Bap, bap, bap. Smack the rock twice. He had his meltdown. It finally got to him. You know? Finally got to him. And then in the end, he was like, oh, man. He was disappointed that what he did, how he made his mighty one look. Because they finally got to Moses. Psalms 33:14. Couldn't control himself. Did I say that right? Oh, man. That ain't it. That's not it, though. That's not what I'm looking for. Oh, Psalms 34 and 14. That's what it is. Psalms 34 and 14. Pardon me, fast. And it reads, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So, part of self-control is having that wholeness, that peace, that shalom. This is what we should always be striving to have in every situation. That wholeness, that completeness. This is what we should always be pursuing after. Wherever there's chaos, wherever there's all these things going on, something's missing. You have to find that thing that's missing and make it whole to bring that peace together. Every situation. Every situation. Even though the words say it's going to be times where it's a time for war and it's a time for peace. And a lot of times you fight those wars so you can have peace. All right? So again, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And our carnal nature, we are evil. Must leave our carnal nature and start doing good. What's good? His word is good. His word makes us know what is good. All right? Last section. Attention. The forefront of our mind is where the attention or our attention span is. Whatever is going on in the now, we have to pay attention to. That's where all the thinking, the planning, the lust and all that stuff, what are we paying attention to? All right? So, Genesis 16, 1 and 2. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaiden, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold now, Yahweh hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid, it may be that I may attain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah, or he paid attention to the voice of Sarah. Abram wasn't thinking about Hagar until Sarah brought him up. Hey, hold up. I got this idea. I'm not having kids. Yahweh may want you to go into my handmaid that I may bear kids by her. Oh, really? That's a good idea. You know, so Abraham's thinking. He wasn't paying attention to Hagar before that. But again, what are we paying attention to? Genesis chapter 30, 14 through 18. And it reads, and Reuben went out, went in the days of wheat. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said unto Leah, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. And she said unto her, Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband? And wouldest thou take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, Therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes. And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, Thou must come into me. Thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my... I'm sorry. You got bought for some vegetables. Sorry. He says, Thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes. And he lay with her that night. Verse 17. And Elohim hearkened unto Leah. He paid attention to Leah. And she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son. And Leah said, Elohim have given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband. And she called his name Issachar. Yahweh was paying attention. And if you remember, from the very beginning, the whole reason why Rachel was barren is because Leah was unloved. Abba paid attention to that. Yeah, he had kids by, but, you know, he was tricked in, he was working for Rachel, but he got tricked into Leah. You know, ending up with, what, seven kids from her? Yeah, seven kids out of 13. He ended up with seven of them by Leah. Six sons and a daughter. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13. And it says, Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13. He says, And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commands, which I command you this day, to love Yahweh your mighty one, and to serve him with all your hearts and with all your souls, that I will give you the rain of your land in its due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, and thy wine, and thy oil, and I will send grass in the fields for thy cattle, that thou may eat and be full. Pay attention to Yahweh. Right? He said, pay attention unto his commands. And the command is to love Yahweh with your heart and serve him. He said, love Yahweh, your mighty one, and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul. Pay attention to the commands, and we will prosper. Pay attention to the commands. Have those, like our elder, a liaison, put these things in the forefront of your mind, right in the forefront. That frontal lobe, right? Job chapter 21, verse 2. And that's the last verse, y'all. It reads, Hear diligently my speech, and let this be your consolations. This was Job answering, right? To think of what he says. Pay attention to what I'm saying and think about this. Because when he says the words consolations, let this be your comfort. But this is something that I want you to really pay attention to. Pay attention to what I'm saying. Right? And this is what we ought to be doing. When we are going through our daily things, our daily routines, our daily just living, pay attention. You never know, Abba, what you never... He throws little things at you every so often. Pay attention to this. Pay attention to that. Are you listening? Pay attention to people. Pay attention to how they move. Pay attention to what they say. He gave us the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything on this planet to teach us. So pay attention, y'all. And this ends the frontal lobe. I pray Abba gave everything that everybody needed and grow you how he sees fit. And we'll be back here next week speaking on another part of the brain. Oh, no, we won't. I apologize. We won't be back here next week. Brothers is going to the retreat next week. And so we're not going to have blog talk next week. They'll be following the week after. But again, there's over 1,000 episodes of blog talk. You know, plenty of knowledge is compiled there. So I would encourage everybody to go through, look for a subject. You know, go through, look for a subject and just listen. You know, go back to some of the older blog talks and listen. So, you know, with that, we're going to close up. Blessed are you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are all your words. None of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abba Yah, once again, ask you that you forgive us for all our sins that we commit knowingly and unknowingly, Father, and that you hear our prayer. Father, thank you once again for the breath of life, for the Shabbat, for protecting us, leading us, and guiding us through this week, for strengthening us to overcome overcome the wiles of the adversary, our opponent. Father, we thank you for healing us, comforting us, and we ask that you continue to heal and comfort us mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, Father. We thank you for providing for us, giving us the strength that we need on a daily basis, Father. Father, we ask that when we go to the left or the right, that you chastise us, bring us back to your path, Father. We ask, Abba, that you continue to grow us. We ask, Abba, that you put your spirit upon
the next Moray was teaching. I forgot who was teaching, but open up their mouths, give them your word, put your word within them, fill them with your spirit, and allow them to educate us, to edify us, Father, build us up through your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach. Father, we ask that you continue to watch over all of Yisrael, that you continue to build this house brick by brick, move us and maneuver us however you seem fit, Father. We ask that we continue to learn and grow with you, Father, and that you give us the strength to endure to the end. In Yahushua's name we pray and give you praise, glory, and exaltation, God. All our love is towards you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shabbat shalom, family. Enjoy the rest of Shabbat.
Stay on my 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. Everybody say that they can't wait. Would you be ready if he came back today? You better take advantage of this grace and check your spirit. And the laws of discipline from the scriptures, and check your spirit, be diligent, never fear it. The fire will make you purer. Be a doer, not just a hearer, living in a pitiful error. Straight from the laws, and that's a suicidal error. Get your mind right before the hour of terror. Procrastinate and be destroyed in your security. To save your life, you need to eat eggs and my eggs. Sometimes I try to justify my sin, but no excuses will be heard in the end. Sometimes I try to justify my sin, but no excuses will be heard in the end.